This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 20 من شهر جمادى الأولى 1442 الموافق لأربعة من شهر جانوري 2021 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. So we are still dealing with the evil consequence and the negative effect of the ma'asi, the sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want. يقول المؤلف رحمه الله وكتب عمر ابن عبد العزيز. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz wrote إلى الأمصاري to the cities. You know, in those days, if you remember, the Muslim community was united, led by one person who is located in one city. We don't have countries, we have states. We have states in the past. That is the capital city of the Muslim territory, Khilafah al-Islamiyah, used to be Medina, and then moved to Sham, and then moved to Iraq, and then moved to Sham. So, and then also history shows that there are other small khilafah that took place in this life of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But generally Muslims are led by one imam. The rest of the countries, which we call countries nowadays, they are like states. They have governors, you know, to deal with them. So the instruction is coming from the center. You know, the instruction coming from the center. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz being the khalifa, he will send the command to the rest of the cities, you know. We call them countries. He will talk to them and ask them to do what he wants them to do. So in those days, the leaders also are scholars, you know. Some of them are really, really, really scholars. They're well-versed in the knowledge, you know. And are just normal people. They really learned. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, they mentioned that scholars in front of him, they always become students because he really study. He's a scholar, big scholar actually, not just a scholar, big scholar. That's why they said sometimes when we go to him, we feel that we are kids in terms of knowledge. SubhanAllah, what a nice title, you know, the leader, the Khalifa, you know, much more greater than the title of president and the prime minister and the king, you know, because he's leading every Muslim territory on earth, you know, but at the same time, very knowledgeable person. So he used to advise them also on what to do and how to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sent them one day this letter. He said, Amma ba'd. He says, فَإِنَّ هَذَا أَرَّجَفُ شَيْءٌ يُعَاقِبُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْعِبَادِ. He said, this shaking of the earth that takes place from time to time, the earthquake, he said, it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to punish people with. It's a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this thing that you see is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ شَيْءٌ يُعَاقِبُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْعِبَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish people with, the criminals. And for the good ones, it's going to be mercy upon them. But sometimes we also play a role in that evil attitude because we see them doing, but we don't even think about reminding them. وَقَدْ كَتَبْتُ إِلَى الْأَمْصَارِ أَنْ يَخْرُجُ فِي يَوْمِ كَذَا وَكَذَا فِي شَهْرِ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ شَيْءٌ فَلَيْتَصَدَّقْ بِهِ. And he says, I commanded, you know, people, you know, in every part of the Muslim territory to go out of their houses in certain days. You mentioned the days, and then participate in the charity, support others, you know, in the sense of repentance, you know, asking them to go out of the house, do righteous deed, especially giving the charity. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Whoever becomes pure, meaning he has a very clean heart, you know. And how do we get this tazkiyatun nafs that we have been struggling to get it? It's something that is very cheap and very simple. But unfortunately, we spent a lot of money, you know, attending courses and attending places and doing so many things, you know, to get the tazkiyatun nafsi, you know, to make ourselves, you know, very pure and clean. But unfortunately, we are still in the same position, you know. Because nowadays, and in many da'wah platforms becomes business. And people don't understand that. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to the truth. We are busy trying to convince people and to make them happy, you know. Happy in the sense of making them laugh and joke a lot, you know. In all of most of these causes, but at the same time, they don't go out with anything except a few. And usually when you have this, I'm not saying all, you know, so that nobody will come and smack me after that. But usually when you see places where the registration is so high, you have to pay a lot for you to register, then to study the deen. SubhanAllah, look for somewhere and go and do that. You know? Wallahi, this is my advice. Look for somewhere and go and do that. A place where they take a very simple amount or they don't take it all. You know, so those one, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, the ikhlas is much more, you know. And you also, when you don't pay more, naturally, you pay attention to it. To get idea, but when you pay more, then you are expecting certain, you know, level and things to be granted to you. If you don't get it, you get annoyed. And sometimes the speaker will be giving you something which he believes is beneficial to you, but to you, not within your expectation, you know. Even in writing articles in the journals, usually when you have those ones who don't take anything, they're the most accurate one, the serious one, the one that they mean business, they are talking about, you know, academics, you know. Academically, they are the best, you know, much more than those who take money. You know, many of them, you find them, subhanAllah, very low in terms of quality, and that integrity is not there. So anyway, as I said, this tazkiyatun nafs is very free. It's very free and very easy for you to reach this level of tazkiyatun nafs. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّىٰ. Allahu Akbar. He purifies his soul. What does he do to make it pure? Tawheed awalan. You know, tawheed awalan. There is nothing, you know, in this life that purifies the soul more than the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, to have a life which is away from shirk completely. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, he got a lot of praises by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Actually, it's not easy to find somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned by name, you know, and praise him in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. We got the narration of others. Musa alayhi salam took the vast majority. But in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about Ibrahim, almost nobody received this, you know, subhanAllah, from the past and the previous nation. And how did he reach that conclusion? Tawheed. You know, very dedicated in Tawheed. All of them are like that. But Ibrahim's alayhi salam, dedication, subhanAllah, is very unique. Tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and passed all the tests. You know, strong trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how he put his family members, and they were also like that. You can see the impact of this tarbiyah of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his family when Jibreel met Hajar. In that place where there is no life, you know, place where there is no life. Nowadays, you see how much we crumble. The wife is crying, the children are crying out, and the husband doesn't know what to do, you know. He tried his best, he couldn't get more, but then people are not happy with the level they get, you know. They push him up sometimes to go and take riba, you know, in order to make life better according to the way they think. But Ibrahim was not like that. He puts his children upon the good tarbiyah and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making effort. They put effort. That's why she did not give up when she was looking for water, saying that no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring anything. I just sit down here waiting for him to bring. You know, she put effort. She went here and there to see whether she can find. This is the real tawakkul, you know, to see whether she can find water or not. She got tired, but still she doesn't give up. When she hears a voice talking, she look and she saw Jibreel alayhi salam. SubhanAllah, this dars that this woman taught everyone on earth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should come first and you should be holding upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rizq, the sustenance is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He provides. They were in that place and they don't have anything. And subhanAllah, they got it. Wallahu Akbar, you know, subhanAllah, they got it. Wallahi, they get the best one. She was a woman. And you know, being a woman in that place, you know what it means, you know. And the brothers, they came, you know, in bulk amount, and they couldn't do anything. And they have to bow for her sister, for her leadership, you know. She told them, you can stay next to me, but I am the one who has a right to use the water, and you have to take permission first when you want to use the water. And they have to take the permission also from her to live in that place, you know. This is how Makkah get to be established. What did Jibril tell her? He said, who are you? She said, I am the mother of the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. She uses Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Jibril says, oh, why is he? He left you here alone. She said, yes. Did he leave you under the custody of somebody? She said, yes. SubhanAllah. You know, she doesn't get annoyed, you know. The food finished, but she's not annoyed. He said, did he leave you under the custody of somebody? She said, yes, he did. He said, who is that? She said, Allah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. You know, no water, no food, no life, no money, nobody to talk to. She's alone with that baby, you know, baby, cannot even sit down, you know. Alone in that place, and the husband left her in that place, you know. Imagine somebody in our time, these materialist people, how would be the feeling, you know? How is a person is going to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there? I hope, inshallah, every one of us understand how much Iman Ibrahim alayhi salam put in the family, you know. She was able to resist, you know, to maintain her Iman and tawakkul and good relationship with Allah and have good expectation about Him, you know. She said, Allah. And Jibreel says, فَقَدْ وَكَلَكُمَا إِلَى كَافِرٍ. He said, definitely he left you and your child under the custody of somebody who is sufficient for you. And then he tell her, لا تخشي الضياع. He said, don't you ever be afraid of getting lost. You are under the protection of the best of the protectors. And that's Allah's water. Jibreel gave her this, tamanha. And then he get her the water. He said, don't worry. That is the house of Allah's water in this place. This son is going to build it, he and his father. You know, and that's how Allah SWT sent Jurhum to them. They came, they live in that place, you know, under the control of her. She's the one who's taking care of the water, because there is no water, there is no life. And they came to the place actually because of the water. She was protected by Allah SWT. They respect her, and they respect her family members. When Ismail grew, they marry him, one of them. I just want you to understand the kind of tarbiyah this man, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he gave his children. Tawheed awwalan. That's why they never lost, you know. They always gain, and they are under the protection of Allah SWT until they went back to Him. So he married from them, you know. تعلم العربيته, he learned from the Arabic language and he married from them. Ibrahim visited them one day, and he found Ismail is not there. He used to visit them from time to time, so he couldn't find Ismail. He found his wife. He asked his wife, where is your husband? She saw an old man, she doesn't know who he is, you know, the first time she met him. Where is your husband? She said, he went to look for food for us. So Ibrahim says, alayhi salam, he says, how's your life, by the way? You know, subhanAllah, unfortunately she missed, you know, how's your life, by the way? She said, we're in a very terrible life. A'udhu billah. She said, difficult life. We're in the state of difficulty, you know, life is not easy. She complained a lot. Ibrahim says, what is your food? Since you're in a very difficult life, what do you eat, you guys? She said, we have meat and we have water, you know. You know, they even have meat. Ismail used to live with Zamzam alone. No meat, no food, no anything. Zamzam alone, he and his mother. And they tolerated the life. So when she complained, Ibrahim said, no problem. When your husband came, tell him that I am saying salam to him, and he should change the front part of his door. She doesn't know what does that mean. You know, when the husband came, she told him an old man came. He realized that something happened in the house. He said, did anyone visit you today? She said, yes. We got an old man who came, and these are his features. He said, oh, that's my father, actually. He said, what did he tell you? He said, I should convey his salam to you, and you should change the front part of your door. Ismail said, unfortunately, this is my father, and he is asking me to stay away from you. And he told her, ilhaqi bi ahlik. He divorced her. Why did he divorce her? Because she doesn't deserve to stay with Ismail alayhi salam. Not having tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not being satisfied with the little and contented with the little that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them, which is not little, you know. It's all about contentment, you know. Inner satisfaction. Being happy with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, although it might sound little. You know. Later on, he married another woman, you know. And when the father visited, that one was so smart, alhamdulillah. When the father came, she did not know who he is. But then he said salam to him, and he asked her, what is your food? She said, alhamdulillah, we are in the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She praised the kind of life they're living. And then Ibrahim told her that, if your husband come, please do convey my salam to him. And also tell him to keep the front part of his door. And he's referring to her. So Ismail, stay with her. So what I'm trying to say is, dear brothers and sisters, especially the parent, wallahi, thumma tallah, uqsimu billahi, there is no gift you will give to your children that is better than the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teach them tawheed of Allah. Let them respect Allah and recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept anything, but not shirk, you know. I'm not saying to accept ma'asi and tolerate ma'asi, but any... You can be lenient, you know, on any matter, but not tawheed. Because tawheed, if a person lost it, his life will be miserable. Even if he's so rich in this life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the contentment and the inner satisfaction and the peace of mind. And at the end of the day, when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hell is going to be confirmed. So be very careful. The first thing to teach your child is tawheed, tawheed, tawheed. From the younger age. Let them, according to their capacity, teach them about Allah. You know, the basics. Allah is the creator. He is not created. You know, everything is created by Allah. Whatever you get is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything you get from Allah. Always have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things like this. You know, words in the school which are shirk. You inform them this one is shirk. Associating partner with Allah. All of these tiny, tiny things according to their capacity. You know, the more they grow, the more you increase, you know, the lessons on the tawheed until they are able to grasp everything. And then you go teach them heavy books. Be the light out. So that's the first thing, you know, you should do. And the second thing is the other part of the tarbiyah, you know. The first thing for the tazkiyah to nafs, we're talking about tazkiyah to nafs, is tawheed. And the second thing is the other translations or interpretations of the tawheed, which are the righteousness, the actions of the limbs. Especially the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the salah you are doing, especially the charity you're giving, especially the fasting you're doing, especially the hajj, especially anything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommend that we should be doing. So I guess this is very simple, you know, simple and free of charge. You don't need to pay a single cent. Wallahi, you don't need to pay a single cent. You can purify your soul. At home, you can do it. Everyone knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Just do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. According to the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does it, stay away from ma'asi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. In some place, another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who purifies his soul succeed. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. How do you purify your soul? Through the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the remembrance of Allah. Through the prayers, you know. Fixing the prayers. Praying on time. Praying with khushu. Praying with sincerity. Praying according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasting according to the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. You enjoy. I'm telling you, to be honest with you, I don't know about you, but the day I fast, I feel more control of my brain when it comes to revising things, you know. I focus more, you know. Then you will understand what the scholars have been talking about, you know. That this fasting is the source of what? Consciousness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and, you know, whoever doesn't have any ability to marry, he said he should go for fasting. It helps you to control your desire. That might go in the wrong way. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ كَجُنَّةِ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنَ الْقِتَالِ فِي الْقِتَالِ. He says fasting acts like a shield, like an armor, just like the way when you use the shield and the armor to stop the arrows from coming to you. Fasting is acting in that way, you know. So it helps you to stay away from maasi. That's why even gangsters sometimes, you know, the moderate one amongst them, you know, in Ramadan they don't go against the fitna, you know. They fast, you know. That's why they said fasting is madrasa. So dear brothers and sisters, I really want you to understand this properly. Don't complicate things. Things are very simple. You and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no barrier. If you put a barrier, you will get into trouble and it will not reach your goal. So be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have a trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have a correct tawheed. Don't you ever accept deficiency in aqidah. The most dangerous thing that a person can be in is to have a wrong aqidah. And this aqidah of Islam is the most easiest thing, you know, in this life. My dear brothers and sisters, aqidah is the most easiest knowledge because it's the key to the success and it's the only thing that can take you in Islam or take you out of Islam. That's why it has to be made, you know, extraordinarily easy. But unfortunately, we fight about aqidah. Why? Because we refuse to submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. We agree only to use our uqul to interpret that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, to do it in the way we want, not in the way He wants. Otherwise, what is aqidah? Wallahi, what is aqidah? Aqidah means to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His right, to believe in what He says and to keep it in the way He says. What's so difficult about this, you know? That's why I told some people I can teach aqidah in 15 minutes, you know. Actually, it's exaggeration. This is more. I can go 10 minutes, I can teach you aqidah. Whatever you want to do to succeed in this life, in 10 minutes, I can give you that. It's very simple, very easy. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, you can deliver it in 10 minutes. But because of others, you know, and other people's attitude, people teach aqidah for ages, you know. As Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi says, it used to be very simple. But unfortunately, you have so many innovations in the aqidah. And whenever an innovation comes, the scholars have to come and refute it. That's why the books become so big, you know. But the contents, look at Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, you know, I wish I have a copy here. Look at the Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. You know, it's very, very small, small book, you know. I don't have it here, unfortunately. But it is very small, you know. Smaller than this book, you know. Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. It contains almost everything you need. You know, it's almost just like this size, as small as this. But unfortunately, if you are to talk about it and to talk about other people who brought other things, you will spend ages. We need that, because without that, then we cannot protect our children. We cannot protect ourselves. But brothers and sisters, the issue of Tawheed and Aqidah is very simple. What is that Aqidah? To believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in His creation, His control, and His ownership. What is it so difficult about this? He creates and owns and controls. This one, if you maintain it, it will guide you to the rest of the types of the Tawheed. This one that I have mentioned, this is what we call Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has a right to all of your actions. You do them for His sake alone, without associating partner with Him. Your life is governed with Tawheed. Whatever happens in this life, you're related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do something, you know, you make sure that you unite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you pray for Allah, you fast for Allah, you give charity for Allah, you go for hajj for Allah, you do sadaqah for Allah, you say the truth for Allah, you deal with people for Allah, you love somebody for Allah, you hate somebody for Allah, everything, you know. If your life is like this, then your tawheed will be perfect. That's tawheed al-uluhiyyah. The last type of tawheed is the tawheed al-asma wa sifat. Tawheed al-asma wa sifat, what is that? To believe that Allah has names and attributes, and it's a very simple concept. You know, in a few seconds you can talk to the people about what they're supposed to believe in this regard. Because it is nothing other than accepting any name Allah gave Himself, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that this name is the name of Allah. And the attributes also like that, and you keep them in the way they are with no modification. Please, billahi alaikum, what is it so difficult about this? And it has a very strong impact in our life. Because if you go through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is known to us, you know, put them into practice and action and see how your life is going to be very excellent. You'll be very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and very kind to humankind. You know, look at the names of Allah. Each and every one of them has a role to play in your life. But do we do that? We spend our life fighting this, fighting that. Just stay with that which was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is more than enough for you. And that's actually what is required from each and every one of us. Then with the Aqsam al-Tawheed, you go to the Imaniyat. Islam has five pillars, and what are these pillars? Salah, Zakah, and Hajj, and Sawm, you know, and Shahadatain. Iman has six pillars: to believe in Allah, to believe in the angels, to believe in the books, and to believe in the prophets and messengers, and to believe in the hereafter, and to believe in the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is one of the most powerful things that a person should remember in this life in order to succeed. These are the things, you know, they have a little bit of details that somebody should tell you about, but they're very simple. And my dear brothers and sisters, the way Ibrahim succeeded, you will take that path also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you success in this life. As I always say, success means peace of mind. You are happy in this life. It's not about how much you get, but are you happy or not? And happiness, I mean the real happiness, not pretending to be happy. Sometimes we pretend to be happy, but we're not. From inside, we're burning. And some people, they are in the middle of disease, but they don't know. That's another kind of punishment. Allah might make a person take something which is not a source of happiness as a source of happiness. And that's also a kind of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please do understand me correctly, my dear brothers and sisters. Tazkiyatun nafs is very simple. You know, everyone can do it. Everyone can do it. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stay away from the sin, fix your tawheed, your good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on time, and do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do within your capability. Within your capability. Okay, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَّى رَسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The reason why we are distracted, you know, we don't purify ourselves because we favor the life of the dunya over the life of the akhirah. Yeah, or else, how is it possible that somebody is so busy with looking for a job, even if it is haram, he doesn't care? Why is that? Because we favor the dunya. And the companions succeeded because they favor the akhirah. They look for the dunya, but the one that is given the preference is the akhirah. Somebody heard the mention of Jannah, you know, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you mean if I got killed, you know, during this battle, I go to Jannah, the one that you mentioned just now? He said, yes. The man says, Ya Rasulullah, if I stay until the time I finish eating these pieces of tamr, the date he was eating some tamr in his hand, he said, إِنَّهَا لَحَيَاتٌ طَوِيلًا. He said, this is a very long life. So, تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Favoring the life of dunya is one of the source of evils in this life. So give the preference to the akhirah. Look for the dunya. There is no problem in looking for the dunya, you know, but make sure that you use the dunya in the right way. Make sure that you use the dunya in the right way. Allah says, وَبْتَكِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Use the dunya to serve the akhirah. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نِعْمَ الْمَالُ الصَّالِحِ لِلْرَجُلُ الصَّالِحِ. He says, it is so excellent to have wealth that is halal, given to a person who is righteous, because he will put it in the proper place. You know. That's why you can get the better place in Jannah with what? With wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. قَالَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. At the same time, akhirah is better, وَأَبْقَى, and is more lasting. You know, it will never end. It's more lasting and it will never end. وَقُولُهُ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ. So فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. So he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. He says, وَقُولُهُ كَمَا قَالَ Adam. You should say always like what Adam said. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So he's recommending and advising everyone to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that, Ya Allah, we have oppressed ourselves, and if you don't forgive us and you show mercy upon us, we're going to be among the losers in this life. وَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ يُونُسُ and وَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ نُوحُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ and she say also like what Nuh alayhi salam said, وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Nuh alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, if you don't forgive me and show mercy upon me, I'm going to be among the losers in this life. وَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ يُونُسُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ and always say like what Yunus alayhi salam said, I bear witness that there is none to be worshipped except you, Ya Allah. Inni kunti min al-zalimin, and among those who oppressed themselves. So basically what Umar bin Abdulaziz wants them to do is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال الإمام أحمد حدثنا أسود بن عامر حدثنا أبو بكر عن العامش عن عطاء بن أبي رباح عن ابن عمر قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا ظن الناس بالدينار والدرهم وتبايعوا بالعينة وتبعوا أذناب البقر وتركوا الجهاد في سبيل الله أنزل الله بهم بلاء لا يرفعه حتى يراجعوا دينهم. Imam Ahmad narrated the hadith that says, إِذَا ظَنَّ النَّاسُ بِالدِّينَارُ وَالدِّرْهَمُ If people become so stingy, they don't give the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their wealth. You know, they have dinar, they have dirham, but they don't give the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their wealth. إِذَا ظَنَّ النَّاسُ بِالدِّينَارُ وَالدِّرْهَمُ وَتَبَايَعُوا بِالْعِينَ I mean, they don't give the right of Allah. And also they engage in haram businesses, especially the business of عِينَ. What is عِينَ? Ina is selling something on credit, and then you buy it from, you buy the same thing, you know, repurchase it from that person, cash, but at a lower price. For instance, I sold Suhail this thing. I don't know what is that, but I that is a cup here he gave me. Okay, I sold this to him. You know, how much I sold him to him? 10 ringgit, and he pays on credit. Okay. That means after 1 year, he's going to pay me 10 ringgit. But then I know that Suhail doesn't need money. Then I told him, Suhail, what do you think? I take this cup from you, and then I give you I give you cash, 9 ringgit. And Suhail agree to give me the cup, to buy the let me buy the cup from him. You know, I just sold him the cup right now. I just sold him the cup. But then he wants me to buy the cup from him, but at the cost, at the price which is lower than what he will be paying me after 1 year. You know, so I purchased the cup from him at the price of 9 ringgit. And I pay him cash. After 1 year, he's going to give me 10 ringgit. So in reality, this is a loan contract whereby Suhail took from me 9 ringgit, but he pays me 10 ringgit in the future. That's Ina, that's riba. But we go from the back door. You know, we don't want people to understand us properly. Because if I give him 9 ringgit and I take 10 from him, everyone will tell me this is riba. But then we try to put the cup so that we can disguise ourselves. People will think that this is a business, but in reality it is not. That's why Ibn Qayyim says, whoever watches what these people are doing, he knows that the intention is not business. The intention is a loan contract. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you guys become stingy and you don't give the right of Allah, and at the same time also you get involved in the sale of ina, playing games and tricks with the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa tarakul jihad, and if people stay away from jihad fi sabilillah, defense, you know, fi sabilillah, wa akhadhu adhnab al-baqari, and they become busy with the tails of their cows, anzalallahu alayhim min as-sama'i bala'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send down a musibah, calamity, you know, from the sky to them. فَلَا يَرْفَعُهُ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يُرَاجِعُهُ دِينَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never take it off until the time they come back to their religion. So let us observe this, you know, in our finances, you know, we have to be very careful. These are sensitive matters, you know, umur al-batn, a person should be very careful, you know. How many times you make dua, we're making dua, it's like we are not asking. So sometimes it is coming because we eat too much haram. Okay. Make sure that your rizq is coming from the halal way. You know, don't worry about the rizq. You know, just look for it from the halal way. Get it? Any finance. that is based on riba. You know, nowadays we have students taking loan which is riba. You know, they pay a certain percentage of that loan at the end of the day. These are all riba. You know, it's all riba. No matter how much we try to modify it, it remains in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as riba. A person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know what exactly he does. But this is education, this is this and that. Education is not wajib, you know. Education is not, it's wajib, but it's not darura. Darura in the sense, education is wajib, but it is not darura. Darura in the sense that if you don't go for that education, you will die. Because these are the only situations where riba is halal. When you know that if you don't go for the riba, you will lose your life. Who is like that? So it is better for you to go and look for a loan or change the dimension. Go and study something that you can afford, pay. Risk is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you ever connect your risk to what you are studying. It is not linked to it. You know, unless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that, but risk is separated from it. You have a separate file for the risk, and you have also ilm and education. You might become rich because of your knowledge, but rizq is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to people who don't know what knowledge is all about. Because He's the creator and He's the one who provides. Okay, so this is a very important information for all of us, you know, for all of us, especially the students in the universities, where we always think that at the end of the day I get the certificate so that I will get the best job. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for you. You know, you study because education is a pleasure and it's a blessing and it's an honor, it's a prestige, you know, and it's respect, it's a deficiency for somebody not to study, you know. It's good to be an educated person. It's very wrong for you to be ignorant. But at the same time, don't you ever tell yourself that only through your certificate you will be given the rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't go like that. You get the idea? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So open your eyes and check about whatever you do it. Don't do something, you know, in finance or in business except that which is halal. Be satisfied with that. No matter how much small it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to make you happy. وقال الحسن البصري إن الفتنة والله ما هي إلا عقوبة من الله على الناس. He says fitna is nothing wallahi except punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. You know, the calamity that comes and happens to you from time to time is a punishment. Test and a punishment also sometimes. ونظر بعض أنبياء بني إسرائيل إلى ما يصنع بهم بخت نصر فقال بما كسبت أيدينا سلت علينا أو سلت علينا قال بما كسبت أيدينا سلت علينا من لا يعرفك ولا يرحمنا. And this some of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at what Bukht Nasr is doing. Bukht Nasr is one of those tyrant kings which are really criminals, you know. They really punish the Jew, you know. They really punish them. You know, and he went to a city and took it down to the ground. That's why some scholars said he was the one that Allah is referring to in Surah Al-Isra. When he says, Ba'athna alaykum ibadan lana uli ba'asin shadidin fajasu khilal ad-diyar. We talk about this. Very strong and tyrant king. That's Bukht Nasr. So one of the prophets look at what he is doing. Really killing, destroying. He says, he was addressing Allah. He says, Ya Allah, I really know that. Bima kasabat aydina, sallatta alayna man la ya'arifuka wa la yarhamna. You let us be so vulnerable, you know, and weak in the presence of that person who doesn't know you and doesn't show mercy upon us. He doesn't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but somebody who doesn't fear Allah, and as such, for sure he will not have mercy on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is he trying to say here? Your attitude, you know, if they're so bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might invite others who are your enemy to teach you lessons. Because of your bad attitude, you might be in that situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. وقال بخت نصر لدانيال ما الذي سلطني على قومك قال عظام خطيئتك وظلم قومي أنفسهم. They mentioned that one day Daniel was told by Bukhtanasar. Bukhtanasar told Daniel, they said he is a prophet amongst the Bani Israel. Wallahu alam, but that's what I find in the history. I couldn't find a single hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that could be trusted, which says he is one of the prophets. But this is what I found in the books of history, that Daniel was a prophet. They even claimed that there was a grave for him in Iraq, I guess in Iraq, somewhere, somewhere around that place. But all of these are fake informations. Fake information, because this, the scholar said, especially Sheikh Al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, he says there was no grave on earth for a prophet which is known to anyone except one. And that was the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah, this man made life easy for all of us. You know, many people have been cheated. They will show you a grave, they will tell you this is Yunus alayhi salam, this is Ibrahim, this is this and that. How do we know? How do we know? We don't know. Because Rasulullah did not say that. How do we know that this is exactly Musa alayhi salam? And people are spending money to do the wrong thing, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not expose any grave of a prophet except the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Bukhtanasar told Daniel one day, "Malladhi sallatani ala qab?" What do you think the reason why I am given opportunity and authority to punish your people in the way I'm doing? What do you think is the cause that I have the power over them? They couldn't do anything. They just have to follow and submit. Bukhtanasar, Daniel told him, "Aidhamu khati'atik." He says, because your sin is so big, you reach the peak of evil attitude. You know, your sin is so big, your attitude is so bad, you know. That's one, because you went beyond the level of criminality. And the second thing is, وَظُلْمُ قَوْمِ أَنفُسَهُمْ. And also my people, they oppress themselves. You know, they oppress themselves. Oppression doesn't mean you're going to oppress others. But oppression is to commit sin. That's the worst type of oppression, committing sin. That's why shirk is considered as oppression. Oppression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking his right, because oppression is to take the right of somebody, whether you give it to yourself or give it to somebody else. And shirk is that, taking the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving it to somebody else. That's why it's the worst type of sin. Allah says, "Inna shirka al-dhumun adhim." Shirk verily is really big sin. And in fact, the greatest sin. So they oppress themselves through the ma'asi. They commit sin. That's why the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given a chance, you know, to come and teach them lessons. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُ. Maybe they will come back. But unfortunately, لَا حَيَاتَ لِمَنْ تُنَادِي. وَذَكَّرَ مُنَا بِالدُّنْيَا. Ibn Abi Dunya mentioned, although this narration is weak, according to Sheikh Nasiruddin Albani, it's a weak narration. He said, "Dhakara Ibn Abi Dunya min hadith Ammar bin Yasir wa Hudhayfah an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah idha arada bil ibad ni'matan amat al atfal." Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ni'matan bil ibad, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish a people, amat al atfal, he will take the life of the children, the innocent ones. وَأَعْقَمَ أَرْحَامَ النِّسَاءِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the sisters to be barren. You know, they cannot produce children anymore. فَنَزَلَتِ النِّقْمَةِ فَتَنْزِلُ النِّقْمَةُ وَلَيْسَ فِيهِمْ مَرْحُومُ. So after that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down the punishment in a way that is nobody who deserved to be shown mercy amongst them. Good idea. So this narration is weak, but we have other narrations which are more than enough. You know, that we're getting the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of those weak and innocent people. وَذَكَرَ عَنْ مَالِكِ Ibn Abi Dunya ذَكَرَ عَنْ مَالِكِ أَوْ ذُكِرَ عَنْ مَالِكِ وَذَكَرَ عَنْ مَالِكِ ibn Dinar. Mentioned also a narration from Malik ibn Dinar. Malik ibn Dinar is very one of those strange and scholars of the past, you know, very dedicated people, subhanAllah. Yes, Turfa with him, you know, Latifa, they said, They never saw him walking with somebody to the masjid. Those one, they utilize that time. I mean, the time to go to the masjid, they use it in revision of the Quran and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except one day, they saw him with one of the biggest thief in the city. And people were shocked. And what happened was, the thief came to the house of Malik bin Dinar to steal something. He made a mistake, he went to Malik bin Dinar's house. This is one of the top zuhad, you know, he doesn't have anything in that house. He checked the house, check, couldn't see anything. Nothing to steal in that house. And Malik bin Dinar was watching him. And he knows that this guy is a thief, because they know him in the city, you know. They couldn't do anything with him. After he finished, he parked his things in an angry way, you know, to leave the place. Malik bin Dinar called him. He says, my dear brother, he says, since you couldn't find something from the dunya, فَهَلَّكَ رَغْبَةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. He says, since you couldn't find something from the dunya, do you have any interest in the akhirah? He said, yes. The man said, yes. He said, come. And then he took him to the place. He asked him to make wudu. He made wudu. And he said, let's go to the masjid. You know, subhanAllah. They saw him taking, going to the masjid with him. Guided him, you know. SubhanAllah. Look, قُلُوبُهُمْ صَافِيَة, you know. He took him to the masjid. The people are surprised. They said, do you know whom you're taking? He said, yes. He said, who is that? They told him, who is that? He said, yeah, they said, he came to steal us, but we stole him. SubhanAllah. He said, he came to steal us, but we stole him. They stole his, his evil attitude and replaced it with iman. SubhanAllah. Qulubum safiya. So these are those righteous people, the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas. SubhanAllah. Somebody says, the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, kulluhum, Imam al-Dhahabi says, kulluhum min al-salihin. You know, this one is enough. You know, this is enough, you know, as a recommendation for a person. You know, it's enough to him that he is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trusted him. You know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, إِذَا حَدَّثَكُمْ Abdullah ibn Mas'ud فَلَا تُكَذِّبُوا. If Abdullah ibn Mas'ud tells you something, don't deny what he says. Don't reject, accept. It's enough as recommendation. But a Dhahabi look into the life of this man, he says, Allah has blessed him with students. All of them are righteous people. Very dedicated people. He had a student called Rabi ibn al-Khuthaym. This one is amazing. You know, his maid in the house, she thought that Rabi is a blind person. She thought he was a blind man. So she used to go to the house and tell Abdullah ibn Mas'ud when Rabi came to look for him, she used to say, your blind friend is at the door waiting for you. He used to laugh at her and say, no, he wasn't blind. He just don't want to look at you, you know. So she saw him always down, you know, and his eyes are somehow closed. So she thought he was a blind person. But it wasn't like that. He was applying the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ غُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lower your gaze, you know. So anyway, so Malik ibn Dinar was one of the great scholars, you know, in Islam. Very righteous person. أَحْسَبُ كَذَلِكَ وَاللَّهُ حَسِيبُهُ. قَالَ قَرَأْتُ فِي الْحِكْمَةِ. He said, I have read in a wisdom. So he doesn't say that this is a hadith, you know, but he says this is a wisdom, you know. And because رَفْعُهُ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ عَزِيز. So he says, I have read in a wisdom. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَ اللَّهُ مَالِكُ الْمُلُوكِ قُلُوبُ الْمُلُوكِ بِيَدِ. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am Allah. Malik al-Muluk, the one who owns the kings, you know. I don't want to say the king of the kings, you know. Malik is the owner of the Muluk, the kings. He owns the kings. قُلُوبُ الْمُلُوكِ بِيَدِي. The hearts of the kings, they are in my hand. The hearts of the kings are in my hand. فَمَنْ أَطَاعَنِي جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ رَحْمَةً. Whoever obeys me, Allah says, according to this narration, I'm going to make him I'm going to make them rahmatan for him. There will be mercy for him. I will make their heart be merciful to him. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ نِقْمَةً. And whoever disobeys me, I'm going to make those tyrant kings, you know, to become a punishment against him. فَلَا تُشْغِلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بِسَبِّ الْمُلُوكِ. And as such, don't you ever get yourself busy by cursing the kings. and the presidents and the leaders and authority. Don't waste your time, you know, cursing them. وَلَكِنْ تُوبُوا إِلَيَّ وَعَطِّفَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, get busy in repentance, repent to me, and come back to me, and then I will make their heart inclining toward showing mercy to you. So although this narration has a question mark on it, but if you look at the other nusus, you know, and look at the meaning that is contained in this narration, it is correct, it is true. مَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهَ دَانَ لَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is going to bow for you. Bowing, not making sujood for you, but every other thing is going to be lenient and gentle and soft, you know, to you. Including your enemies sometimes. Okay. Including your enemies sometimes. وَمِن مَرَاسِيلِ الْحَسَنْ قَالَ إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ خَيْرًا. From the marasil of the Hassan, of Al-Hassan. Okay, this one is weak also. قَالَ إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ خَيْرًا. Whenever Allah SWT wants good for people, جَعَلَ أَمْرَهُمْ إِلَىٰ حُلَمَائِ. Allah SWT will let them be led by the smart and the righteous people amongst them, the patient people among them. وَفَيْئَهُمْ عِنْدَ سُمَحَائِ. And he will make their fay. Their fay means their ata'. Their salary, their gift, you know, the money coming. I mean, Allah SWT will put it at the hand of the lenient one, the good one, those people who are not stingy. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ شَرًّا جَعَلَ أَمْرَهُمْ إِلَىٰ سُفَهَيْ. When Allah SWT wants evil with the people, He will make their affairs at the hand of the sufaha. Sufaha means the prodigal, the idiots, and the stupid amongst them, you know, but they will be the one who are leading them. وَفَيْأَهُمْ إِنْدَ بُخَلَائِ. And the rizq, you know, sometimes will be coming through the bukhala, those people who are very stingy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salamu wa al-afiyah. قال وذكر الإمام أحمد وغيره عن قتادة قال قال موسى يا رب أنت في السماء ونحن في الأرض فما علامة غضبك من رضاك. قال إذا استعملت عليكم خياركم فهو من علامة رضائي عليكم وإذا استعملت عليكم شراركم فهو من علامة سخطي عليكم. Imam Ahmad narrated this narration that Qatada said, Musa alayhi salam, these are all Israeliyat, you know, no confirmation from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, so we just say wallahu alam, but it is mentioned that Musa said, Ya Allah, you are above the heavens. Okay, that's correct. There's the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Inna Allah fi sama' kama qalat al jariyah. Wa nahnu fil ard, and we are there on earth, the way you place us. Fama alamatu ghadabika min ridak. How do we know that you're happy with us, and how do we know that you are angry with us? Qala idha istamaltu alaykum khiyarakum fahuwa min alamati ridai alaykum. If I assign the best among you, I granted the authority to the best among you to lead you, that means I am happy with you. And if I let the wrong one to be leading you, that means I'm not happy with your attitude and your manners. That's why the scholar said, كَمَا تَكُونُ يُوَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Your leaders are the reflection of our attitude. Our leaders are the reflection of our attitude. We fix, then Allah will fix the situation for us. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. وَذَكَرَ ابْنَ عَبِدِ الدُّنْيَا عَنِ الْفُضَيْلِ بْنِ عِيَاضٍ قَالَ أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى بَعْضِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ إِذَا أَصَانِي مَنْ يَعْرِفُنِي سَلَّتُ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُنِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this narration, which is also weak narration, that one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala received the wahi from Allah, that if the one who knows me, but still he went and do the sin, you know, if somebody who knows me committed a sin, سَلَّتُ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُنِ. I'm going to let him be punished by that person who doesn't know me. So he will be defeated by the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next narration is a bit longer narration. So I guess this is the best place to stop, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and success in life. Abdul Rahman, if we have any question, please do come up with it. Barakallahu feek.
Yeah, I'm going to lock it in. The first question is by Sister Azurita. Assalamu alaikum, Ustaz. Under the new ruling of Islam, we cannot let our father-in-law into the house if they come as a surprise and we haven't sought the permission of our husband. Is that right?
We cannot let the father-in-law
to come into the house if he comes as a surprise unless we inform our husbands.
No, it depends on the nature of the husband. If the husband accepts it, you know, a woman, when she lives with the man, the husband, you know, she should understand the husband, you know. So that good relationship should be maintained. She should know what the husband wants and what the husband doesn't want. That's why this is my personal suggestion, taking it from, I guess, one of the scholars. I forgot his name. Okay, anyway, who cares? This sheikh gave a very nice advice for the married, newly married people. I know sometimes it's very difficult, you know. It's like somebody's in a state of tragedy right after the marriage, no patience at all. No patience, and that's bring tragedy sometimes. That's why the scholar said, be patient, you know, be lenient, be gentle, be patient, you know. Give some time. You know, things are not going to be taken, but give some time. It is so important for you to observe the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the very beginning of your marriage. And he was adding an advice. He says he did that and it really benefited him. Which is when you meet your wife, okay? When you meet your wife, the first thing you do after you do all the necessary things, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put your hand on her head and make that dua, you know, pray the two rakat that is mentioned by some scholars. I mean, do whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the sunnah. After that, before anything else, before you start your relationship with your wife, sit her down first and you also sit down. Talk to her. If the husband doesn't do it, the wife should do. My dear wife, my dear husband, you know, and tell him this is the first time we met. Unfortunately, nowadays they met millions of times, you know. But this is the first time we are meeting in this way. And now we are husband and wife. The barrier has been taken between us. And let us agree upon principles that our life will be based on. Please take this one seriously. Be patient, hold your breath, and do it. I don't know you, and you don't know me. So please let me know what are the things you like in your life. Because sometimes problems are taking place in marriage because the wife doesn't know what the husband wants. And the husband doesn't know what the wife wants. She will be doing things thinking that she's pleasing him. But unfortunately, he's wrong. He doesn't like it. He will keep on fighting, and she doesn't know. And he will be doing something, you know, trying to please her, thinking that he is pleasing her. But unfortunately, she doesn't like that. So dear brothers and sisters, it's really crucial and important, you know, at that meeting, she should ask him and he should ask her, what does he like and what does she want? Let them be very clear. I want this, including how does he want the visit to take place in this house? Who does he want to visit? Forget about anything else, you know, you have to establish a life. One of the problems the sisters and also some of the brothers are doing, they take somebody else's life and bring it to their own family, you know. What works with that person, it might not work with another person. You know, somebody might do it and it worked, but another person, when he does it, it will really be a tragedy. Let me share with you a very funny story, but please don't forget the lessons I have been teaching with this funny story, you know. It's a very funny story, whether it happens or it did not happen, wallahu alam, but somebody told us this, that there was a woman who used to take from the gold the husband is selling. The husband is a gold seller. So whenever he brings it home, she used to take a bit amount of it and hide it. Not in the sense of theft, but she used to think that problem might happen in the house, the husband might get into trouble, you know, and he needs money, then I will give him this. So she used to hide it bit by bit. A day comes where the husband got broke. He became bankrupt and he lost everything. But she has been saving from his gold a bit by bit until the time it becomes so huge. So the husband came back home and he was very sad. She told him what happened. He told her that I lost all of my money. And now I don't know how to deal with this and that. She said, "My dear husband, don't worry. We have a way out." He said, what are you talking about? I'm telling you I'm in a tragedy. You're telling me I shouldn't worry?" She said, "Relax. I have a solution for you." And the husband was waiting to see what is she going to do, you know. She went to the house, you know, and someplace where she hid the thing, you know, according to that story, you know, she brought him the gold. When the husband see that, you know, so much is enough to bring his business back. So he asked her, "Where do you get this?" She informed him that she has been taken from his gold. So husband is supposed to blame her. Why did he take? But now, you know, subhanAllah, this is a very righteous deed she did for him, you know. He was so happy, hug her and smile and praise her, and their life became so fresh, you know. So she was always happy because the husband changed and he from A to Z, you know, became very different. She was speaking to her friend one day. Her friend was asking her, "How come you're always happy? Always happy. You never share any bad thing between you and your family. What happened? You don't have problems?" She said, "No, I don't have, alhamdulillah." They said, "Why? No problem, you know, your husband is very okay." She said, "Yes, very okay. I'm not trying to hide his problem, no, very okay with me. Very okay, I'm really happy." So the friend told her, "Can you share with me the secret? How did you manage to reach that?" She told her the secret. She said, "I'm also going to do it, you know." But unfortunately, she has also started to hide the business of the husband a bit by bit, a bit by bit. One day, according to the story, I said this is just a story, right? Nobody should come and tell me I narrate a fake hadith. Anyway, so they said one day, this the sister, she has been saving the thing from the husband, and the husband got broke. She also told him, "Don't worry." You know, the husband got mad. What do you mean by "don't worry"? She said, "I have a surprise for you." And she went and brought the things for him. When he saw the things, and she told him, "How did she manage to have this huge amount of things that she has been saving?" The husband smacked her and punched and hit, you know, and hit her more. And guess what was the business of the second husband? He was selling the calendars. You know, the calendar, when the time finished, that calendar is invalid, you know. So that's why, forget about this story, you know, just take the principle. They said in the Hikmah, what works with somebody might not work with another person. Especially in the marital life, I'm telling you, what work with another with this family might not work with your family. So sit down, you and your husband, and plan on how to live, you know, according to the principles and the values you both agree. In the way you don't go and impose your life on others, don't bring other people's life. These mistakes have been happening in families, and the family become disintegrated, and sometimes divorce will take place. Why? Because somebody brought the life of other people and come and imposed it in his own family. The only family that you impose their life in your life is the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That one I can guarantee you will succeed when you do that. Good idea. So, dear brothers and sisters, it's really important for the husband and wife, when they met, to have this clear understanding, and then they can go and enjoy themselves in the way they want. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them good. You get it? So, back to that question, if she knows from the husband that he doesn't mind, when anyone comes from the family members, she should let them in. To get an idea. But if she knows that the husband doesn't want somebody to get inside the house without his permission, she is not allowed to bring somebody to the house without his permission, even if that person is her father or her mother. That's very simple and very straightforward from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as I said, she should understand who is the husband first before she make a conclusion. Yes, Abdurrahman.
Question by Brother Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The shuruq is at 7:05 a.m. Can we pray shuruq at 7:30 and continue with duha prayers after that?
Yes, because the shuruq during the shuruq, a person shouldn't pray. That's why that salah that is called Salatul Ishraq, it shouldn't be prayed at the time of the shuruq. Shuruq means the time when the sun is in the process of rising, during the sunrise. A person shouldn't pray at that time. He should wait at least 10 minutes. Okay? At least 10 minutes. Then after that, he can pray. He can pray that prayer, you know, and go ahead with the rest of the prayer of the duha. These are all part of the Duha prayer. Duha prayer is the prayer that you pray during the time of the Duha. You know, we call Salat al-Awabin, Salat al-Shuruq, you know. They're all Duha prayers. Mm-hmm. But 30 minutes is very okay. You know, 30 minutes after the Shuruq is very okay.
Question, Master Mundi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. In terms of education, what if the course in the university take our child's... what if the course in the university that our child takes, we perceive that it is too demanding of their time, such as in the case of architecture, when we see they are struggling to balance, should we advise them to consider to change the course, or we keep on reminding them to ensure they keep the intention solely for the sake of Allah and keep trying?
They should keep the intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep trying. Actually, all of these things, wallahu alam, they are happening due to the mismanagement of time. If a person manages his time properly, the dunya knowledge doesn't take that much from his time. Maximum 5 hours in the school and 2 more hours for practical approach is more than enough. So if you have 7 to 8 hours for the dunya education, is more than enough. You still have how many hours left? 16, right? Around 16 hours, you have balance to do whatever you want. So Sister Murni, this one, she just needs somebody to help her to balance, you know, to make a proper balance, you know, and readjustment of the time and manage it properly. Be the light ally, it will not be difficult. But changing the course, if she doesn't manage the time properly, then even the new course also is going to be like that.
Yeah, Sheikh. Question by Thauban. What does the ayah, ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ mean?
This is talking about as-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. Allah SWT classified people into 3 categories in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. As-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon, ashab al-yameen, and then ashab al-shimal. نسأل الله أن يعصمنا وإحفظنا من أن نكون من هؤلاء. So as-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon, these are the best. And according to the best interpretation of the scholars, it is not restricted to the past. You know, everyone can reach this situation. So thulatu min al-awwalin is small, thulatu min al-awwalin, huge amount of group, you know, huge amount of people, you know, from the previous nation. Wa qalilu min al-akhirin, but from the contemporary time, you have only a few. So you have these type of people in the past, they're more than the present. So if you relate it to the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the tabi'in and the tabi'in, for sure, you know, in their time, the sabiqun, they are a lot. In our time, they are not that much. They are there also, the sabiqun, but they are not as much as what they used to have. Who is sabiq? Somebody who is always competing others in righteousness, trying to be the first in righteousness. Whenever he hears about righteousness, he tries to go first before anybody else. That's sabiqun, Allah grant us good. Yes, Abdurrahman.
Question by Sister Shafa. Sheikh, does that mean we can derive from this that in a secular country, the state of the government may be worse because of Islam not being practiced by the mass, or even in a Muslim majority country, the right kind of practices are not made, and hence the state of the government may be worse?
Yeah, there's any place. Any place that you see the injustice is rampant, and it's not willing to go. To be honest with you, if you look at the attitude of the people in that place, you will see it's also resembling the nature of those authorities and leaders, or even worse. I have examples to give, but it's not the time to give. You know, come to our community and see the injustice and the oppression that is taking place in our family life, you know, in our schools, you know, in our shops, you know, injustice and haram things that are taking place, you know, haram relationship, you know, oppression in the community. All of these are taking place within us. You know. And then tomorrow we will point at the leader and say he is this and that. Yes, he is, and we are also. We are. So you are right, Shafa. You know, kama takunu yu'allalik. You want things to change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to change first, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change it for you. It's very simple, you know. You change, then Allah will change. Allah guide us to truth.
Naam, Sheikh. Question by Sister Moni. Is it permissible for the son of a recently deceased father to proceed with his marriage that was planned just after the father has passed away in a month's time from the death and his mother is still in Iddah?
It's very, very good, actually. It's very good. If, let's say, he does it 3 days after that, it's good also. It's okay, 100% okay. But if his mother asks him to postpone it and to delay it, then he should listen. So his mother says, please delay your marriage. Do it after a few weeks, you know, 1 month, 2 months. He should say yes. And take that advice very, very happily, you know, make her happy with that. Good idea. Or she said, you do it after I finish my iddah. If this is her request, then he goes with that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good.
So, Sheikh, the mother can attend the wedding and...
she doesn't need to go for the wedding. She doesn't need to go for the wedding. Because wedding, there is no need for the sister to go. No problem if she goes, as long as they observe the manners. But it is not a requirement at all. And the father or the wali is a requirement to be in that place. The husband who will take the marriage and the two witnesses, you know, and the mahar does it. Even if she doesn't go. In many cultures, women don't go to the place of the wedding at all. They have their own walima, they have their own celebrations, you know, people will just tell them the marriage happens and then they go and shout and scream and enjoy their food and all of these things. But they don't need to be present in the masjid when the marriage is taking place. It's not haram, but it is not a requirement at all.
Question by Sister Samila. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. In continuation of the question of Salat al-Ishraq, how long is the duration of the Salah?
The Salah or the Ishraq?
Yes, Sheikh.
If the Ishraq, the Ishraq means when the...
How long is the duration of the Salah? I think she's referring to the
Ishraq. The prayer. If she refers to the Ishraq time takes around 5 to 10 minutes. It's better to make it 5 to 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You know, from the time the sun started to rise, you wait for 10 to 15 minutes. And then that's it, inshallah. 10 minutes is okay, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And then you can start your prayer. Once you start your prayer, it's up to you. To spend 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 6 hours. The point is, don't let Dhuhr comes and get you in that place. Inshallah.
Naam, Sheikh. Question by Sister Shahida. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. One of my children is asking, babies who died in infancy will be at what age when they're in Jannah?
Very young age. 30 to 33 years old. Around 33 years old, youth. That's the most prestigious age. They will be at that age, inshallah, in Jannah. And they will go to Jannah. Anyone who dies amongst the children of the Muslims before the age of maturity will be going to Jannah straightforward. Will be in the school of Ibrahim before the Day of Judgment, and then after that, and go to Jannah, inshallah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your children righteousness, Sister Shahida.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. I think we have come to an end with that.
Okay, that's a very good ending with this question of the boy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him and put barakah in all of them and all of our children, and grant them good and make them reliable people for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you good and success in life. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. See you tomorrow, inshallah, with Riyadh al-Salihin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.